This is Real Talk, where all walks of life come together for thoughtful, constructive conversation. No arguments, no debate, just transparency. I'm John Warden, and this is Real Talk. Good morning, everybody. It's time for Real Talk. I hope that you're sitting around with your coffee in hand, maybe a warm muffin. Hopefully, either mama or daddy made some eggs and some bacon, and it's smelling good in the kitchen, and you guys have us, or maybe you're on the way. You know, this morning, you got took to breakfast. You got, man, let's go get a pancake somewhere and all those other things. But either way, we're glad you're on the air with us, and we're here today to talk to what has become a friend of mine, Matt Hires. And you listen to him quite frequently on the radio and all this at OTS Media and different things that he does. And he and I have just kind of hit it off, like we've known each other our whole lives.
Oh, yeah.
And so we just kind of hang out in a little bit. But, you know, in the world we're in, it's wonderful to meet good, genuine people that want to represent. And so with Matt, you know, I understand we're not going to get so heavy into offices today and what we're trying to achieve and where we are. You know, I've always found that, you know, in my past, Matt, just sitting around talking with people, they'll say, well, see, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that and they did that. And I've always been a guy that treated them according to how they did me.
Yes, sir.
Not
yes,
necessarily,
sir.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
not
yeah.
The reputation of the world. But I just want to hear say, you know, if they take care of me and they look after me, and I think that those are the people I love. Not that there's any infliction on you personally, mm-hmm. but it's just life experiences that you run into. And you get to know people. You find a soft spot. There's a trust, an implied trust. Now, as you know, I run a big construction business, and we're in and out of a lot of homes. I've been doing it for a number of years, and I love this community and love the people. And so you're after this thing to do what you can. But today, Matt, just as a general point of introduction, tell us about Matt Hires.
Yeah, Matt Hires grew up right here in Rock Hill, 46 years old. Married to a lovely lady, Ashley. We'll get into that, some stories a little bit later in this show. And father and foster father, two 21-year-old girls, so I'm broke.
I know the feeling. I have twin boys.
Yes, one is at Clemson, one's at South Carolina.
And they're twins.
One's a foster daughter.
The other, that's great. That is beautiful.
They were best friends growing up in elementary school, and our foster daughter, she came to be with us supposed to be for about 2 weeks, and now it's turned into about 9 years, so that's okay. She's one of us now.
I think that's wonderful, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I have a passion for this community. I have a passion for this community and what it's done for me. They've loved me even when I didn't deserve it, but I like to stay active here. I like to try to be the hands and feet of Christ. I like to extend grace where it's been extended to me, and I love getting out there and meeting new people, learning about them, loving them, hearing what they have to say, and just doing for others. That's really what me and my wife are all about.
And, you know, that resembles so much the spirit of my wife and I and our family. You know, we have a ministry here, the Red Door Church. It's one of the sponsors of this program. But, again, we're not here to talk about that. You know, we love the community. We want to get back, and there's so many places. But, you know, I just learned something I didn't know. You know what I mean? You took someone in as kind of Christ did for us. He took us in as who we are and what we are. And I don't know the young lady, but I'm sure under your love and you and your wife's, Ashley's, tutelage, she is going to be remarkable. But it's fun to hear that one's at Clemson and one's at South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
And it's football season.
It is. It sure is. It's geared up.
So,
and that's a little bit more about me. Like you said, I broadcast high school football for the OTS Sports Network, OTS WRHI, which we're coming to you live on now. I work at Williams & Fudge. You said, well, what do you do during the day?
That's it, man.
I do a little bit of everything. I am the facilities director over there, so take care of a building that was built in 1881.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I learn something new every day, find out new nooks and crannies about it, and I wouldn't have it any other way. We also have a podcast not near as elaborate of a setup as you have here. This is beautiful, by the way. Thank you for having me. But it's Carolina Crimes Podcast. My sister-in-law and I, she used to work for SLED, and I used to be a mischievous young person. So we bring a new light to true crime stories.
I understand.
Yeah, exclusively.
The criminal element in all of us. I understand.
That's right. We only cover cases exclusive to the state of South Carolina. And we go all the way back to the pirate days up to today. And that has blossomed in the last 6 years. We've got about 64,000 downloads a week. And that is a hobby that has turned into something really special and a lot of fun.
Well, you know, Matt, when you get to know someone, there's always... It's like my father used to say, and I'll always quote him on the show because he was a man of much wisdom and experience. And he would tell you in a minute, he said, you know, you learn from everybody. People think that you have to keep the company of somebody you're trying to get something off of or be around.
Right.
I think some of the greatest lessons have been for those that maybe in some sense or another, life's been a little tough on them or here and there, and mm-hmm. you listen to the wisdom and understanding of who they are. So when you were a child, growing up,
yes, sir.
Tell me who was your influence? Who was a surprise influence? You know, my father was a key element in my life. He was hard on me, and probably, like you said, deservedly so for the criminal element
right,
in me that
right.
may arise. And he kept covering, beating back down, but all those fun things. But tell me who was your influence growing up?
A1. Would be my grandfather, my maternal grandfather. He was a career military man, 31 years in the U.S. Army, a master sergeant. I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, heard a lot of stories, heard a lot of words sometimes I shouldn't have heard, but he always got his point across, and I loved how he always treated people fairly. I saw that through his eyes. He set that example. After retiring from the military, he was a dietitian at a small town hospital here in South Carolina. And a dietitian back then wasn't what it is today. It just meant, hey, that person's in this room. They've had a heart attack. Don't put right. salt on their food.
Right.
That was about the extent.
Saccharin. I understand.
That's right. That's right. But the people he employed and watching how he took care of people, that inspired me. That told me, hey, you know, he takes care of these people. He loves them. He might know a little bit about their background, but he knows their circumstances, and he wants to take care of these people, whether they look like him or don't, believe like him or don't, from the
right.
same socioeconomic
right.
class.
Right.
And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Now, outside of the family, I'd have to say one of my teachers here in Rock Hill at Sullivan Middle School, he was the best teacher I've ever had. I don't know if it was just my learning style. His name was Bud Cope. In seventh grade, he taught geography, and he would have little hand motions, little songs, little things that he would do where at the end of the year, he could give us a blank map of the world, and we could name where every single nation was in their capital.
And sing the song to go with
yeah,
it.
And
probably.
Sing the song
yeah,
and do the hand
jingles.
Motions, and you see people
yes.
doing this and that and this.
I still remember those.
But just the way that he took, the interest he took in each child in that classroom, it really spoke to me as well.
Well, you know, Matt, when you hear those kind of stories, I got something similar just for the point of conversation. It was used to do a lot of work. My father had a little bit of health element. Well, he had more than a few, you know, and there was sometimes I would come get drug out of school. And I would work late into the night because, again, he didn't have a great big business. He had a little old small kind of pipeline and thing that he did, and he covered up ditches, and sometimes it was just him. He had no help, no established business, if you will. Dad kind of, I hate to say, used the term fly by the seat of his pants, but he knew what he was doing. He knew what
yes,
direction he was
yeah,
going.
Yeah, I get it.
But it was a little small company, and, you know, when I developed and grew Champion Services on my own, it was a lot of things working with a work ethic. But I can recall working late into the night. And you talk about a teacher of influence, and that's the thing that's really key. Mine probably that I can probably think the most of was a gentleman by the name of Harry Orr. Now, those listening to this, he was at Rock Hill High School. Mm-hmm. You don't know Harry Orr. And he was a unique individual. And he was just one of those guys. He was a literature teacher. And so he, you know, I would come in and I remember one, it was six period class, and I was one, and I was so tired from working late just to help honestly put food on the table. And it sounds like one of them old timey stories, but it's just a true story. And I kind of fell asleep, didn't sleep good, wasn't feeling good in his class. Well, bell rang, I didn't hear it, which I never fell asleep in a class ever. It was the only time ever. And so he waited patiently for me to wake up. And when I woke up, he looked at me, he said, you know, if you ever learn to pay attention to really apply yourself, you're going to make something out of yourself. But otherwise, you're just going to be a waste of a position. Something to that effect. Well, you know, that made me mad. I got up. I was embarrassed. Everybody was gone, so it was just me and him. And he's just standing there with his arms crossed looking at me when he woke up. And so I went out the door. Well, all weekend long, that was a Friday, Matt, not to beleaguer the point because we're here to talk about your world. But you talk about that type of influence in terms of the education system and school system and why you really care to want to give back. You really do. And so when you understand that aspect, all weekend long I was mad. I was going to prove him wrong. It was this and it was that and it was this. You know, and I came in and I waited all day long that Monday to get to that sixth period because I was going to give him a piece of my mind. And you talk about the spirit of the Lord back then, even when you didn't know that the spirit of the Lord was working. And so I walked in there and I went and he says, Mr. Warden, can I help you? And I didn't get afraid. I got checked.
Right.
I went, I just want to tell you, Mr. Orr, that won't happen again. I want to apologize. I didn't even recognize the words coming out of my own mouth. You know when the Lord teaches you to say something and you go, was that me that just said that? You had to go look in the mirror and go, what did I just say? And all weekend long, you just manifested this thing. Mm-hmm. But the greater good was he was right.
Right.
And I set about to make that, and I became more interested in literature, which helped me in later days with lyrics and different things and some of the articulate ways you do things. You begin to fall in love with those kind of things, poetry and those things, just things that you would normally, you know, it wasn't a tough guy position. You know what I mean?
Right.
I played sports and all the things. But all that said, I remember later on, you're talking about an influence that when he retired, he made a comment. And they asked him, who was your most influential student? And he named me.
Wow. Wow.
It was later on that year when he got sick and he had an illness, I was teaching his class.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And so that was the influence it had. So I understand the difference in the education system to be able to look after and go, that man cared. And for those who will recognize that name, Mr. Harry Orr, what a wonderful gentleman. But that was quite an influence. Now, Matt, as we go into life and we move into the community, yes, you got your work, Williams and Fudge. That's a big responsibility, and that's an old building.
Yes, sir.
I know a little bit about those.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about how you met Ashley.
Oh, well, that is a complete God thing. In my life, I was in a low point, and I've got a testimony. We don't have enough time on this show.
I got you.
This would be about a 10-parter.
I understand.
But at a low point in my life, I did not have the greatest self-esteem. I had dug a hole for myself in life, and we were at a community event, and there was actually this little girl up there singing on the stage. They had a karaoke thing set up, and she came walking over, and I said, well, hey, you know, that was good up there. She was singing Katy Perry. I still remember. She was 6 years old. She said, well, thank you. This is my mom. And met her, and a strikingly beautiful lady, and about a week later, one of the friends that was there with me, she had gotten my number and called me and said, well, would you like to go to coffee? And I said, well, what in the world would somebody like her want to do with somebody like me?
I ask that question almost every day.
I still do. But we went and we had a nice time, and she was interested in me. She was interested in peeling back the layers, not any facade I had built up. Not anything about my past, but about me and me, the inner me. And that was when I realized, hey, this is somebody that actually cares. That was the first time I had experienced somebody with true love and care for me. And I said, you know, I might want to latch on to this. And boy, I'm glad I did. Boy, I'm glad I did. And it wasn't a month prior to that, you know, I had gotten on my knees and asked the Lord. I said, you know, I surrender, God. You know, I am making a mess of this thing you call life. Again, we can get into that at a different time. And I said, God, I surrender. I give up. And that's when, and I really meant it, and that's when his wheels started turning. And boy, he has given me everything I've ever needed and everything I've ever wanted ever since.
Well, you know, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans for sound mind, but most of all, an interpretation is to bring you to an anticipated end. If we're conscious of that and listening to that application, it's amazing how the God in our lives. It sounds like through your life, Matt, it's much like mine. You've allowed the Spirit of God, even when probably we were at our worst.
Yes.
You know that there was always, thank God, a mama, a daddy, a grandparent, or whatever it may have been, and now, you know, spouses and family members that look after you and take care of you. And so you become people that you can trust in a position of authority.
Right.
You know, our kids are, I've got seven. I got three older and four little ones. So I got twin six-year-olds. And they're a challenge just getting them out of the, to go to school. They're a challenge just to get them out of the bus, if you will, in the morning, what we
yes.
call the bus. And so just to get them up, son, there's 8,000 people waiting to get here and they're all going to be late. And you guys are like, you can't, never mind. Let's just get out as fast as you can. So that in and of itself is a challenge. But you watch the development. So in that, Matt, as you developed over life, and you recognize that call, that day, and we've all got those days. I can tell you mine, but I'm going to skip that, like you say, for another day. What makes you want to serve, Matt? Matt, what makes you want to give back?
Because of the grace that God showed me. It's plain and simple. God loved me. This community loved me. They've rallied around me. They've cheered for me. They've brought me along, and I have that sense of duty. If God's given me a second chance, God let me hit the reset button. Not everybody gets that opportunity, but I did. So now, let's do some good. Let's do God's will. Like I said earlier, let's be the hands and feet of Christ, and let's try to look out for our younger generation. To bring them along. I know you talk a lot about that on this program.
Yes.
But our world has enough of hard-hearted people. They have way too many internet trolls and keyboard warriors, and we don't need another generation of that. We need people that have empathy to end this tribalism.
We need to go back to that.
Yes.
We need to go back to that.
Where everybody looks out for everybody
else. It's a
else.
Community. We've had those conversations on this show. In
yes,
fact,
sir.
Today, Miss Sheila Kimmel, which is a princess of a lady, made a comment. She said, you know, when we were talking over some things on the previous show and that we were recorded, and she was talking about what had happened in life and all the things that were happening at during Hugo when it hit, and it reminded her of all how the great relationship and how everybody pulled together and everybody stepped up and did for her. And she made a comment with so much passion and almost anguish on her face that stuck in my the rest of the day when she said it. And it was, why can't people just go back to being nice again?
Exactly.
And you know what? I think that the key to leadership in any situation, in any responsibility, is when you have the kind of influence as you have it on air, you have it at work, you have it in your position, you have it in life, you have it at home, you have it even though they're in college.
It's debatable some days.
Well,
yes.
Well, we understand, but influence is a very positive thing. I figured out a long time ago that unless you can communicate and talk with them, you can't influence. They shut down if you're not going to hear them. You're raising young people. I'm raising young people again. And so I'm back to a position to where I want to see the growth and the belief. I want to get back to the community. That's what I do. You know, when we pay, everybody's about taxes, and it's that time of year again with the property tax, some notices are going to start rolling out. And the percentage of money that comes toward the different agencies, the county, the city, the school districts, and all those things that we do, and you start questioning those. What the quality of people that can sit in a room that are having an overall view, not a selfish view, Not a ladder climbing escapade.
Amen.
Not somebody trying to get to a higher position or notoriety, and all those things. This program, we do this because we love the community. We want to give back. We want to say to you, listen, here's another thought. We can reason together, and we can come through that. For people that will step up to the plate, and they'll sit in a position of honestly being pot shot at. It's not. Yeah. Any position whatsoever, you're looking to get knocked off. You know,
right?
That.
You're not going to make any friends being position.
You're not. But the idea behind it is to see the passion in your eyes and the sense and feel it with you in the room. It's such a heart's desire to get back and to serve. Now, when we think through that, and obviously, you know, you're in a position now where you're trying to establish yourself to be of a greater influence in our school district and all this other. And I'm not going to give you an opportunity to ask why vote for me. That's not really the point. Because, and honestly, if people believe in you and believe in the spirit of you, God takes care of the rest.
That's right.
And so if I had to ask you in terms of an attribute, what is the greatest thing that Matt has to offer?
It's my heart. And that sounds like an emotional answer. But anyone that's gotten to know me, and there's been naysayers, well, you know, they say, well, where did you come from? Why did you just pop out of nowhere and want to serve on the school board? I said, you know, I've been here the whole time. I don't go around beating my chest about boards I've served on or things I've done.
Or that's, accomplishments. Yeah.
No, that's not it. It's my heart. I've used my heart and to translate into good decisions. I serve on the South Carolina High School League now, and there are some tough decisions we have to make. But in my decision-making process, it's pretty simple. It's twofold. Does it honor God, and is it good for our children? That's all you've got to ask.
All children.
Yeah, all children.
That's right.
And I don't care if they're in Rock Hill, Greenville, Bamberg, Allendale, Myrtle Beach, anywhere around the state when I'm making these decisions. But is this going to help a child or a group of children? And that's what I'm all about.
You know, I saw something on a sign years ago when I was a child. And it was on the front of a marquee in front of a church. People don't read their Bible. They read you and me. And so when you walk that walk and that talk, it is an example of you lead by example. Paul put it in Scripture, follow me as I follow Christ. And it wasn't a indication that he wanted to be in charge. He was humble enough to realize that the only instruction that he gets is from a higher power.
Right.
And if we remain ourselves humble and walk in that way, then you find yourself in a natural leadership position because God's the one that protects. He's the one that promotes who he can trust.
Right, right.
And if he can trust us, he'll put us in a position of influence, especially for his spirit and his will be done. You know, Matt, you graduated what school?
The Citadel in 2001.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And high school?
Northwestern, 97.
Well, I won't hold that against you. I'm a Bearcat.
I understand.
But where'd you go to middle school?
Sullivan Middle School, Richmond Drive Elementary.
Well, see, I'm back from the Leslie, the Castle Heights, and I was on the other end of town.
Okay.
We were on the poor side, you know what I mean?
Understand.
We were the ones over here that had to work for a living.
I understand.
Now, I'm picking at you, but all that said, I'll never forget when that new school popped up called Northwestern, and we were going to have two high schools and all this other, and it was always that combative, and now there's, South Point, and now we don't know what else might be coming up down the road with the growth in our community. I think that the need for qualified, honestly, in the only way I see it is spirit-led men and women that have the ability to separate personal gain, what offends us, instead of what's in the best interest for the overall good of who we represent. You know, I'm not much of a politician or political, but I've learned a long time. I've been asked, will you run for this? I said, nah, I'll tell you why. Because I don't really, and I'm not for political party affiliation, and I'll tell you why. I'm for those that I represent. If you ask me to take care of something for you, you call me to your house, you say, John, fix my roof. I'm going to take care of it because I'm representing you and the trust in the nature that you put into me.
Right.
And so when I see that, And when I'm starting to feel good about who people are and what's the temperature in the room, what's the atmosphere about, you know, those are the things I'm looking for. It's not sales. It's something that you can sink your teeth in and then also your spirit bears witness with. And I think that's the key. Matt, we got about 3 minutes left. I want to give you a couple of minutes before we wrap up here to tell us this. If you had one thing that you think would be the greatest thing that you would make a change in a position to come, whatever that may be, whatever God's will be done, and I wish that for you and pray that for you and your family, your beautiful family. And that's the only thing that matters, not the votes. There's only one vote that counts.
Yeah, that's the end.
That's it. That's his. Okay, so with that, what would you change?
When it comes to changing things, I don't necessarily think of it as a change, but just a redirection. And we've talked about it on here several times. It's interpersonal communication.
Correct.
It's for our children to learn how to speak to each other, how to empathize with each other, how to have these conversations, to work out conflicts together. We see a lot of teen violence in this community, on the news every night, where teens have an argument online. You see, online, not face-to-face.
Correct.
They don't know how to put a face, a name, a soul with a person on the other side of that screen. That's what fosters this violence, I believe. And if we can get people to work together, like you said, I don't care any of these people in Rock Hill. I'm running for the at-large seat. It's everyone in Rock Hill. If you call and ask me for help, I'm not going to say, who'd you vote for president? I don't care. You're one of my neighbors, and you need help.
The will of the people.
And let's do it. Let's do it, and let's do it together. And the dissension and the tribalism within our culture today is just, it's a cancer. And we've got to start building bridges with other people. We've got to build bridges with people, like I said, that don't look like us, that don't think like us, and bring everybody into the fold and let them realize, hey, let's talk to each other. Let's maybe we'll disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable.
You know.
And let's go from there. It's a beautiful thing.
It is. Reasoning together. We got about a minute left. And let me say this, and I'll give you a couple of final comments. You know, to canvass for what you would call a vote, again, I won't know more, and I won't know more for Matt and what everything else in his family than what the Spirit of God has for you. And boy, that's a higher power greater than us. But ladies and gentlemen, this is Matt Hires, and he is a man that is seeking to serve in the most proper way, most spiritual way. Matt, you got 20 seconds. And the show's Real Talk, and I'm going to let Matt sign off today. But Matt?
Well, John, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to the people of our Rock Hill community. I am running, like you said, for Rock Hill School Board, the at-large seat. And I'm not running for a position. This position belongs to the people. It belongs to you. Come to me with any problems that you may have. And I'm not running to hold a seat. I'm running to be a servant.
Matt Hires, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, everybody. Real Talk is sponsored by Champion Services Incorporated, your local remodel and restoration company, and the Red Door Church, a ministry that loves this community. If you're interested in sponsorship or you have a story you want to share or want to be a part of this program, contact us at reachus.realtalkradio@gmail.com.